Good evening, everyone. Before I start on our devotional, we didn't put an announcement on the announcements. I didn't get to give it to Kevin. But one of the announcements is we're going to have a cleanup day, April the 4th. And Tamia will be putting it on for this coming Sunday. So April the 4th, we're going to have a cleanup day. So it would be, I would appreciate if all of our men will be able to come and help out. Would you please turn to James 1. James 1. We'll be reading 12 through 18. James 1, 12 through 18. And the scripture says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." As reading these scriptures, you could probably understand that my devotional tonight is about temptation. Temptations are not from God. That is my sermon, or devotion, I'm sorry. As we examine what James says, we need to be aware that the Greek word translated tempeth here is the same word as translated as trials. Earlier in this letter, it is just a change of the noun form to the verb form, but it is the same word. The Expository Bible Commentary says the Greek noun priosamos can refer either to an outward circumstance of trial or to a temptation to sin. The same is true of the verb form as well. This is important to know so that we do not make an artificial distinction between trials and temptations, as if James is no longer talking about trials and is now talking about temptations. James has not changed his topics. The reason the word is the same is because trials and temptations are two faces on the same coin. If we are in trials, then we are experiencing all kinds of temptations in that trial. Trials are so difficult because of the onslaught of temptations we face. Similarly, when facing temptations, we are experiencing a trial. We are going through a degree of distress, and as the temptation looms before our eyes. The point is to know that when we read about trials, we should include temptations as part of the discussion. One example of this is 1 Corinthians 10:13 that our brother read. I'll read it again. That's a King James Version. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The NIV version says, no temptations has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The ESV version says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with total temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. The NRSV version says, no testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. So which translation is right? Well, they're all correct. We think of temptation, it is also the same word for trials. When we read about trials, we should also think about temptations. This will help us understand what James is teaching in this section of his letter. James is aware that every trial brings a multitude of temptations. It is going to happen. Notice the word when, in. Let no one say when he is tempted. Temptations will come. But God is not the cause. God is good. God cannot be tempted by evil or to do evil. Therefore, God is not to blame for trials and temptations. God tempts no one. God is not the cause. God does not make bad things happen to you. Too often we treat God like he is God karma. We get a flat tire, so we wonder, what do we do wrong to make God mad? We think that we need to do good things so that we need to do good things so that good things will happen to us. But God is not karma. God is not tempted by evil. God is not tempted to evil. God does not do evil. God tempts no one again. Don't blame God. So where are these temptations coming from when we are in the middle of trials? You see, temptations do not come from God. Temptations come from within ourselves. Now, this is potentially shocking to learn. I thought Satan was to blame. I thought Satan was the cause of temptations. I thought he was the problem, not me. Look at what James says about this, and we can grasp how temptations come from within us. James uses a fishing or a hunting illustration to explain how temptations works. First, we are lured and enticed by our own desires. This is a picture of a trap laid with bait or bait placed on a hook. What is important to notice is that we are lured and enticed by our own desire. The picture is this. If we did not have the desires and weaknesses, then Satan would not have nothing with which to tempt us. Satan is the one that puts the bait on the hook and drops the line in the water. But the temptation comes from within us because we want the bait. A fish will not have no interest if I put a Brussels sprout. Now, I highlighted Brussels sprouts. I don't like Brussels sprouts. I can't stand Brussels sprouts. If you put a plate with Brussels sprouts on there, I'll eat all around it. But I'm not going to eat it. Obed might wind up eating it, but I'm not going to eat it. Now, Obed will eat anything you put on his plate. And then for me, and I put this on this illustration. I should have never done that, but I did. But I wouldn't even put this Brussels sprout for bait for a fish either. Now, I feel sorry for the fish. So after this, if you're going to go fishing, don't use Brussels sprouts, okay? And don't tell me if you did later on. Well, let me get back where I was on. A fish will have no interest if I put a Brussels sprout on the hook and drop it in the water. A temptation only becomes effective and intense based upon our own desires. Our problem is with sin is our problem. The problem is with us. We have desires that Satan is using to try to pull us away from God. God is not tempting us. We have a desire that we want fulfilled, but we must find godly, holy ways to meet desires and not Satan's ways. James teaches us that our problem with sin and temptation is in our desires. We need to know what our desires are and have an understanding of our weaknesses. We need to know what things can be put on the hook that will cause us to entice and lure away. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. Having been enticed, our desire leads to sinful action. The desire gives birth to sin. We act upon that desire. We do not fight the desire. We do not turn the other direction and flee the bait. We go and bite the bait on the hook. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. When sin has its free reign, it leads to death, spiritual separation from God. When we let sin repeat itself in our lives and we are not turning to God in sorrow and repentance, then sin grows until it kills us. We can become separated from God and we do not look to return. James is proving that God is doing you good, even in the midst of trials. James begins in verse 13, telling us not to think that God is tempting us. This continues to affirm the character of God in the trial, which we began to consider in the last message. God is not against you in trials. God is not giving you temptations to wreck your faith. God is not destroying you. God is not tempted to do evil, and God does not tempt anyone. God is not tempted to do evil towards you. James tells us this so that we will not lie to our own selves. What is happening is not God standing against you. Do not look at temptations in that light. Instead, we should look at God in the opposite light. James is showing us that sin is a process. You do not fall into sin. Sin does not just happen. There is a process that begins from desires in your heart being entertained in our minds and carried out by our own actions. There is a process that is happening, and we need to be aware of that so we can stop the sin process. I wrote on here one of the best examples, and I shouldn't have said one of the best. What I rather clarify is one of the biggest examples of temptation is that we can see very clearly in the sin of who? David and Bathsheba. There were so many ways for that sin to be avoided. David just had to go back into his palace and move on. But he kept looking. Then he asked about her. Then he sent for her. Then he committed sin with her. There were so many decisions and actions after desire that he chose to carry out. And also carry out, but then also, in 2 Samuel 11, David arranges Uriah's death. That's pretty bad. Sin is a process. So, what are some of the important messages that James is teaching? how we can strengthen our faith when tempted. First, the goodness of God is to be a weapon we use against temptation. We do not need what temptation is offering. God gives us everything we need. God gives every good thing. God is the satisfier of our needs. We do not fulfill our desires through ungodly means. Greater joy and greater fulfillment are found in having our needs met by God and in God's ways. God is not against you. God is not keeping you from joy and happiness. God gives all things that are good. We read Galatians 5:24-25. I'll say it again. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep step with the Spirit. Ephesians 2:3. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as others were also. Romans 13:13-11, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill flesh thereof. Job 2. Job remains faithful despite Satan's testings. We know that. Matthew 4. Jesus resists Satan's temptations in the wilderness. We know that. Genesis 3. Eve is deceived by the serpent's temptations. We also should know that. This is one of my favorites. Genesis 39. Joseph resists temptation from Potiphar's wife. He walked away. I think he rather ran from the temptation. Daniel 6. Daniel remains faithful despite the lion's den decree. Matthew 26. Peter denies Jesus under pressure. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul endures suffering while exposing deception. My conclusion. Our desires are what lead to death. The reason why we need to deal with our desires is because that are the root of the problem. That is the root of the problem. The picture James gives is powerful because it is a fishing image where the fish is lured and enticed. And don't use Brussels sprouts. The fish does not see the hook. He's not going to see the Brussels sprouts. The fish only sees the bait. We need to see the hook in the temptation. The hook is death. The hook is our completely separation from God. The hook is losing our eternal life. See the hook and stop looking at the bait. The bait is leading to death. Deal with your internal desires and let God transform your heart to move you away from sins and toward Him. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not consider ways to gratify the flesh. Brothers and sisters, we are all different, which is a good thing. We all walk differently, some slow, some fast, and some others in different ways, different means to walk. But the narrow road is always the same. We all have the same goal, to be with our Father in heaven. There is so much temptation now in our time, our cell phones, internet, and just life itself. But we cannot let those things tempt us or entice us in our daily walk. 2 Timothy 4, 6-8 says, "For I am already poured out like the drink offering, and the time has come for me to depart, for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have longed for his appearing." You see, Paul was not running an earthly race to come first, second, or third. Brothers and sisters, his race was spiritual. He just finished his race. Like we will do when it is our time. For we do not know when our time will come. But we must always be ready to finish our own race. So now comes the time to become a Christian today. If you believe in Jesus and want to receive the remission of your sins, repent and be baptized to wash your sins. Or if you are in need of our prayers, please come. Acts 22:16 says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash thy sins. Call on the Lord, call on the name of the Lord." 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." As we stand and sing the song of invitation.